The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. A lot going on. The Supreme Court hearing arguments, and we're going to get to that in just a little while. Also, President Trump back in court today. May I just ask you a question? I know Alex Jones and Steve Bannon, a lot of those guys have been raising this issue, and I'm just curious about something. So Bannon seems to think that something is going on, and that some of our faithful conservative lawmakers are privately conspiring against Trump, which is one of the reasons why Joe Biden has not been impeached. Hunter Biden has not come to justice. And President Trump keeps getting hauled into court. So I'm just curious, does that concern you that there may be a situation here where there are many within the Republican Party that are conspiring to take out Trump? And I say that because Donald Trump is not a conservative. Donald Trump is a populist. And there are some of the things that Trump is doing, and he's blowing everything up. And that's honestly what we need. That's what needs to happen here, is that everything needs to get blown up, politically speaking. And see Media Matters now. Breaking news! Starnes calls for domestic terror. No, Todd is not calling for domestic terrorism. Politically speaking, Trump is blowing stuff up. And that's what terrified. A lot of people are terrified about this guy. And I would not be surprised if some of that was going on. But I do wonder how many of these Republican lawmakers really want Trump to be elected in 2024. Because I'm not seeing it. Now, I want to share some stuff with you, and it's just sort of weird, but it sort of makes sense when you hear Bannon's concerns. And Bannon's talking about, he's talking about some high-profile conservative leaders in Congress that he says just really secretly, privately, they're trying to stop Trump. And that may or may not be the case. I don't know. But I can tell you that on the local and the state levels, that the Republicans are having some difficulties. There's a lot of infighting. And there are actually some Republican groups, and there are a couple of female, there are a lot of the female Republican groups out there, and they're playing hardball. I mean, it's like Mean Girls. And they're putting out these orders and these edicts that if you say anything about any Republican, then you are expelled from the Republican club. I mean, it's crazy stuff. And so the argument there is that, if you've got lawmakers, let's say you're a MAGA person, you're an America First conservative, and you're out there and you've got a problem with a moderate Republican, and you say something about it, you could get kicked out of the Republican Party. I mean, that's how some of these people are playing this game. It's shocking, but that's how they're doing it. And it's troubling to me that in some of these major cities around the nation where you see, let's take Chicago. We'll take Chicago, for example. They are in the throes of chaos. You have blacks who've been voting for generations as Democrats that are bolting from the party. They're literally threatening to campaign against the current sitting mayor, who happens to be a black guy. But the voters there, they're very upset because they're putting the illegal aliens in the traditionally black neighborhoods. They're in the black community centers, and the population is saying, wait a second, we've been supporting you guys for generations. We go out there, we bust our butts, and this is the thanks you get? You're shoving us aside for the illegals? So here's my question. Where are the Republicans there in Chicago? Why are they not out there at these press conferences? Why aren't they holding the press conferences? Why aren't they out there in the community reaching out? This is an opportunity for Republicans in Chicago to make some inroads into communities where they otherwise have had no success. So why is that? Why is it that most of the Republican parties around the country are broke? They got no money. Nobody's giving them money. Why is that? Is it possible that there are forces at work within the Republican Party that just don't want Donald Trump to be the next president of the United States? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I'll give you an example close to home, Memphis, Tennessee. You know, we've got a mayor, a Democrat, everybody's Democrat here. That's an elected leadership. And you've got George Soros judges, George Soros district attorney. They're letting the criminals out. Predators are all over the place. It's horrible. You've got a mayor who said the solution is more midnight basketball, $5 billion the taxpayers have to fork over, and new community centers. By the way, the mayor also wants to raise the property tax by 28%. So, I would expect somebody out there on the Republican side of the aisle to step up and say, you know what, we got a problem with that. What about fiscal responsibility? You know, if you're saying that you're not going to be able to meet your obligations, here's a thought. I know it's out there, but why not cut the budget by 28%? As opposed to forcing it on taxpayers. All that's going to do is going to force businesses and people to leave Memphis. So, again, it's the same thing is happening all over the country, except in New York, by the way, where something rather unusual is happening. There is some sort of a revolution underway. And this may come back and bite the Democrats in the wazoo. But this idea that Trump has to go to that courthouse every single day means that Donald Trump is going to be campaigning in New York and New York City for the next 8 weeks. And something is happening. And I think especially among the Jews, when they see what's going on with all of these protest marches, with the junior varsity Hamas that have organized and are occupying college campuses, and the Jews understand now, I hope they do, wait a second. How come Joe Biden's not out there condemning all this? We see Speaker Mike Johnson out there, and we appreciate that, but where's the president? So earlier today, this morning, president made a surprise stop at one of these construction sites. And let me tell you something about the hard hats, the blue-collar workers in New York City. They're just good old boys. They may talk with an accent. They may eat bagels and pastrami on rye, but these guys are just good old boys. They'd be very comfortable down in Dixie. And most of them, by and large, are conservative guys, I would say. So Trump goes out there and makes a surprise visit before he heads over to court. And there are a bunch of construction workers. I would say hundreds, if not maybe 1,000 construction workers. And they're going nuts. As a matter of fact, this is some of the audio here. These are union workers. Cut 14.
USA! 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 USA!
I mean, this is amazing. And so Trump is there, and then they're chanting USA, and then they start chanting, "We love Trump." Cut 2.
away here, and he's going to talk here about New York City and quality of life issues they say that everyday Americans are dealing with. The Trump team tells us these union workers who are here to talk to the president are paying the price of failed economic policies currently in the country. So the president wants to talk with these people to gain their support. These are hardworking New Yorkers, okay, union members who have been working on this big construction site here in Midtown Manhattan near Trump Tower. And let's just take a listen to what the crowd's saying. So you can hear those chants. And then Brian and Ainsley, you guys can see the former president walking up and down here and shaking hands.
All right. So that's a reporting from Fox News live at the scene. So there was the manager of Local 638, that's the Steam Fitters Union, and his name is Bobby Bartels, cut number 12.
It was great to see the president come and engaging with the blue-collar worker of New York City. We basically built New York. The union movement has made the middle class. And we are very patriotic union, and we are pro-America. So my members right now, I put out a poll in my union. President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members right now. We are very tired of the situation with groceries, inflation, gas prices, illegal immigration, crime. We're living it every day in New York City.
Yeah, I hear it. And I feel it. And those are huge numbers. Trump leading among the union workers, the blue collar guys, 3-1 over Joe Biden. Cut 13.
In the past, we are basically Democrats, all of us. And after what's happened the last 4 years in this country, Democrats are basically pushing everybody to the other side. We're a very patriotic group, and we love our country, and we want the best for America. We are tired of immigration. We're tired of our tax dollars going to immigration. We're tired of the crime. We need to put a handle on things in this country and bring it back to how it should be.
I think that guy speaks for a lot of other union workers around the nation. And while you may have, and Steve Bannon may be right, there may be people conspiring within the party to stop Donald Trump. But I'm telling you, there's something else going on here. And I am sensing some sort of a massive groundswell of support for Donald Trump that normally would not vote Republican. And honestly, what Trump should have done is run as an independent. Because I think at the end of the day, he is going to win, and he is going to win big in spite of all of the sabotage. I truly believe that. All right, we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to get into what happened in Arizona, the indictments coming down last night. Also, President Trump back in court, the Supreme Court hearing arguments today. And by the way, they wouldn't let President Trump go to his own Supreme Court oral arguments. I mean, that's how despicable these people are. My question is very simple to you, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. We're several months out from the election. Are you more inclined now to vote for Donald Trump and to support Donald Trump? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Jim in North Carolina. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. What I'd like to say is about the rank-and-file union members. I'm 100% sure the rank-and-file. I'm talking construction workers now because I'm a retired pipe fitter, actually a sprinkler fitter, put in fire protection systems. But I think the rank-and-file is 100% behind Trump. It's the international leaders that they're the ones that make the endorsements and all that stuff. I think, you know, they're just not on his side for some reason. I don't know what that reason could be.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Jim, and I appreciate your insight. Are you talking to other union buddies, and what are the concerns? I mean, you said you're a retired union worker. Why are you supporting Trump?
Well, because I think it's the right way for the country to go. The country's in a tailspin right now, and I know that the construction union workers are 100% for Trump. You know, there's different unions that may not be, but the construction trades are, I'm sure they're behind him. He stands for everything that they want. And when Biden got in there and did what he did, I'm a pipe fitter. I'm belong to the international, the UA, United Association. And when he got in there and he did away with the pipeline agreement, I'd have thrown my hard hat away. You know, I've been retired for a long while, but, you know, and I changed my colors. I voted Democrat right on up until Clinton. When Clinton did the deal what he did with NAFTA, that was it for me. That's when I crossed over to the other side. You know, so I just think the rank-and-file members of all the construction unions, you had the steam fitter on there, and he made a heck of a lot of sense. And he goes around to all his workers. I believe he said he had 600 people in his union.
Oh, 9,000. 9,000.
9,000. I bet 95% of them are going to vote for Trump because it only makes sense. It just makes sense, Todd. I think he's going to get the country back in the direction we need to go.
Jim, I'm with you on this, and again, I think, there was a key word, the rank and file, and I think that the average American citizen, they're looking at how things are going right now, and they're saying there's no way that Biden can get us out of this, and a lot of people are willing to give Donald Trump a second chance, and appreciate that call, Jim. David, writing in on our Facebook Live, says, Todd, the establishment in D.C. despises President Trump on both sides of the aisle. I think Steve Bannon is on to something. The only difference between Democrat and Republican lawmakers is what they are willing to say in public. The question that at that point becomes, okay, well, is Speaker Johnson in on it? Is that one of the reasons why he decided to work with Schumer and Biden on this foreign aid package? I mean, and Trump's a smart guy, and he knows that we do not need the distraction of what's happening on Capitol Hill with the Republican infighting. Everybody needs to be focused on the economy, which is in the toilet right now. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Daryl. Hi, Daryl. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, I'm glad to talk to you for the second time. And, you know, it's amazing the Supreme Court is hearing this because they just told Joe Biden that he could not stop the payments from the college kids that had loans. And he did it anyway. And then he bragged about it. And he said, they said I couldn't do it. And I did. That's immunity. What are they going to do with Joe Biden now since the Supreme Court told him he couldn't do it? They're not going to do a thing.
Well, this is interesting, and it's a great question. I think Trump is going to be fine here, but there is a double standard, and I would just go back to the definition of presidential. Again, the president of the United States had the right to classify, you know, to use those classified documents or declassify the classified documents. That's his right as president. Joe Biden was vice president. He did not have that right. So if you're going to go after Trump, then how can you possibly not go after someone like Joe Biden or even Mike Pence, who, by the way, is in the same boat that Joe Biden is in here. All right, Daryl, I got to skedaddle. We're up against a break. Thank you for that call. Do you think Steve Bannon is onto something here, folks? Do you think the Republican establishment may be trying to sabotage Trump? 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. Wow, just a few moments ago, they interviewed one of these union workers, and the guy saying, hey, you know what, it's Trump's turn. And the reporter says, what's your message to Joe Biden? What do you think about Joe Biden? He says, blank Biden. Oh, my. We can't even. It's great audio, but we can't play it on the radio. So, look, a lot of stuff happening here. And I want to talk about something that actually happened on MSDNC, which is kind of shocking. So there is a professor. His name is Scott Galloway. And he's raising some concerns about Generation Z. And it's an interesting observation he has. But he's really getting concerned. This guy, Professor Galloway, is really concerned that this generation could be a revolutionary war-style generation in the sense that things are so bad and that the country is spiraling so fast that this generation may not be able to own their own homes. They may not be able to live the American dream that my generation and that some of the millennial generation were able to live. And it's a fair concern because if you're, let's say you're 23, 24, 25, and you're looking at some of these folks in their 30s and 40s and realizing, well, wait a second, they've got their homes, they've got good jobs, and I've got squat. You know, well, you know what? That's on the Democrats. But I'm not sure the kids are understanding the nuance. Cut number 11.
For the first time in our nation's history, a 30-year-old man or woman isn't doing as well as his or her parents were at 30. That is the social compact breaking down. People aged 30 to 34, 60% of them in 1990 had one child. Now it's 27%. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it. They're not having kids. Young people aren't having sex. They're not meeting. They're not mating. The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day, which lessens household formation. So we have a real issue. Young people are enraged. So it turns every cut, every movement into an opportunistic infection because, quite frankly, they are just pissed off. Mm-hmm. They look up, they see wealth, exceptional wealth across my generation and people in certain industries, and they are really struggling. Their purchasing power is going down, and the incumbents create artificial scarcity on campus. We take pride in rejecting 90% of our applicants, so the incumbents who already have a degree see their degree go up in value. We get very concerned with housing and traffic once we own the housing. Housing permits are sequestered from young people. Housing prices have gone from $290 to $420 in the last 4 years. So a young person, a house, stocks that I don't own skyrocket in value. Let's have COVID relief and flush the markets and take assets way up, because if a million people dying would be bad, would be tragic if I got less wealthy. And we're doing it on their credit card. Young people have every reason to be enraged, and every issue they see, they look up, they get angry, and they see someone doing better than them, and then every day it is speedballed in their face that they are failing, that they are not doing as well as everyone around them. We have lost the script. Our kids are more anxious and more depressed and more obese and more addicted, and we have made a purposeful decision to let this happen by ensuring the people around this table stay wealthy at the cost of young people.
Wow. That's a lot to unravel there, but it's starting to make sense, because, and he's got a point here, is that you've got a generation of young people that are not getting married. They're not having babies. They're not and the problem is you've got the baby. And this is not a Gen X problem. This goes back to the baby boomers. The baby boomers were the generation born after World War II. And all these folks were coming back from war, and they were doing the boot, scoot, and boogie in the sheets. And I mean, they were popping out babies all over the place. So that's why they called them the baby boomers. There was a boom in the number of babies born. But the problem is baby boomers did not have as many babies as their parents did. That was the Generation X. So our generation was a little bit smaller, probably a lot smaller than the baby boomers. Then along come the millennials, and we saw a massive drop, and now the bottom has fallen out. Nobody's getting married. Nobody's having babies. So here's the problem with that. Now you have a massive number of people that are on Social Security. Social Security can't handle those numbers. And by the time I get ready to retire, what is it, 65? Is that the 60? I mean, we're talking, 10, 12 years. There will not be Social Security. There will not be enough people, younger people, to take care of the older people. And Professor Galloway here, and I appreciate him sounding the alarm, because we've got to start addressing this kind of stuff. And one of the ways we're going to do that is through changing the education system in this country. One of the amazing stories from yesterday that did not get a lot of national news coverage, it happened at Liberty University. They had thousands of students occupying their lawn, but they were not protesting the Jews. They were actually worshiping together. They were celebrating God. And someone posted a note that that they noticed that Liberty University has an unusually large number of alpha males. And I'm just going to say this, and ladies, I will let the chips fall where they may. I think the problem in America is that we need men to step up. Men have abdicated their responsibility in the culture. And a lot of that has been a result of the education system brainwashing people into thinking there's something wrong with guys being guys. And they basically feminized guys in America. And I think that if we can get back to the way things should be, which is strong, dominant men in the family, the head of the house, if we can get back to those sorts of things, I think we're going to be able to salvage all of this. But ultimately, and I was talking to Bill O'Reilly about this in our interview a few days ago, that ultimately this is about restoring the American family. If we can restore the American family, if we can help these young kids understand that family is the most important thing, then I think we've got a fighting chance here. But the problem is you send your kids off to these taxpayer-funded schools, and the kids come back and they're brainwashed. It's like they've been to some sort of a cult. And that's really what's going on at the university level, which is why you've got all these little wannabe junior varsity Hamas terrorists running around clashing with police. Oh, by the way, may we just say, God bless Texas. Now, you see, the junior varsity Hamas terrorist went down to Texas, University of Texas in Austin, and they tried to stir up a stink. And law enforcement said, oh, we're not playing that game down here. This is not New York City. And so they went in and took care of business. And now that, you know, people are saying, oh, they killed people, there's blood in the streets. There was no blood in the streets. No one was killed. But I will say this, that's how you handle these urchins, these ungrateful little urchins, many of whom I suspect are being paid. Oh, what was it? We've got some audio here. You've got to listen to this. So a couple of these girls, they were at NYU, I believe, and they, somebody went up to them and said, so why are you, what are you out here for? Why are you protesting? Cut five.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stop. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing? About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish that was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Columbia. I was there on Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
We were like, they said they were going to get, like, free lattes, and so that's what, like, what we're here for. This is ignorance, but I suspect this is the majority opinion here. Most of these kids have no idea. Somebody probably gave them 10, 20 bucks and said, hey, we need you to go out there and yell something about the Jews. That's what I think is going on here. By the way, have you noticed, and maybe this is just me, but have you noticed that within the conservative world, there is a stench of anti-Semitism within our own ranks? It's very odd, very strange, but there is a rising tide of anti-Semitism even within conservative circles now. It's very disturbing. What is old is new again. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I am curious, your local communities, your local neighborhoods, are you seeing kids getting out there and getting married? I mean, in some of the smaller towns, that's how, what you did. You graduated high school, you went out there, by and large, people got married and started having their families, and they would have three or four, maybe five kids. If you're Mormon, you got six or seven, and you got a musical group. So I'm just curious, is that still happening in your small towns, or is this some sort of an anomaly where only the larger cities, kids are not getting married, kids are, you know, they're not starting their families? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Todd, I need a question answered. I'm not sure why the country of Israel needs a device called Iron Dome. I'm not sure what, do we need that in America? I'm not sure what that is. And what is an Arrow 2 device? Do we need that in the United States? Can you give me an answer? I'll be listening. Thank you. I appreciate you very much.
Well, all right. Well, thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, the Iron Dome. Without the Iron Dome, you would be talking about a lot of dead Israeli citizens right now. And the Iron Dome, is a, what's the best way to describe it? It's really a mobile air defense system. It's not an actual dome, but it is an air defense system that intercepts these short-range missiles and these artillery shells. So, yeah, definitely Israel needs that. Now, I would say that if the United States is under attack, if they're firing missiles across our border, I would like to think that we have the capability to shoot those down. But yes, Israel does need an Iron Dome. All right, thanks for that call. Let's go to John in North Carolina. John, what's on your mind?
I have a beautiful, wonderful Eastern North Carolina sunny day, but Todd, I think the guys and gals up there in Columbia at the university, since they've self-identified as Palestinians or Hamas, need to do their study overseas for a semester or whatever. So let's give them a free cruise out of New York Harbor, you know, load them all up. It'd be about 2,000 or so, right? That's the count I've heard. And take them over there to Gaza, since the pier's going to be there by the time they get there, And I say, here's where you're going to study. And when they get off the ship, the boat pulls out and leaves them behind.
Yeah, John, I love that idea. I think that's actually a terrific idea. And I think we ought to round up, and especially every non-citizen that's protesting right now over at Columbia or, you know, Harvard, Yale, round them all up and send them right over there. And don't let them back into the country. Yeah, I like that idea.
Cheaper for a ship than flying them.
Yeah.
You know?
Whatever's cheaper.
Yeah,
I mean,
let them drink.
Can we FedEx them? That might work. John, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. So I want to play some audio here. This is the parents of one of the American hostages. You may not be aware of this, ladies and gentlemen, but Hamas still holds Americans hostage in Gaza. Cut number 7.
My name is Rachel, and this is John, and we are the parents of Hirsch Goldberg Polin, an American-Israeli civilian who was kidnapped into Gaza 201 days ago.
Seeing a video of Hirsch today is overwhelming. We're relieved to see him alive, but we are also concerned about his health and well-being, as well as that of all of the other hostages and all of those suffering in this region. And we're here today with a plea to all of the leaders of the parties who have been negotiating to date. That includes Qatar, Egypt, the United States, Hamas, and Israel. Be brave, lean in, seize this moment, and get a deal done to reunite all of us with our loved ones and to end the suffering in this region.
And Hirsch, if you can hear this, we heard your voice today for the first time in 201 days. And if you can hear us, I am telling you, we are telling you, we love you, stay strong, survive.
All right. It's heartbreaking. And again, it's the administration is like, well, you know, we're hoping they set them free. We just sent $9 billion to Hamas, the American taxpayers, courtesy of Speaker Mike Johnson. We just sent $9 billion with a B to people who are holding American citizens hostage. And understand this, all those little wannabe terrorists out there at Columbia University, they're standing on the other side of this issue. They are supporting Hamas, the people that are torturing and holding our own people hostage. That is treasonous in my estimation. All right, let's go to Chuck in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, Chuck. What's on your mind?
Well, a few minutes ago, you asked the questions, why aren't the children in the inner cities growing up and getting married and having kids? And I think part of the reason is they're not exactly sure what their gender is today, and they've been lied to their whole lives, and I guess they probably just don't know the difference between right and wrong. And as far as that goes, the majority of the problems this country faces, those problems are born inside of those big cities, where a lot of these kids grow up with the same lies they've been believing since they were small children, and when they grow up, they act out on those lies, and you see policies like what the left is pushing today. It's pretty sad.
Just think about this for a moment, Chuck. You know, they're teaching the kids in our public schools here in America that there's one group that's the oppressor and the other is the oppressed. We're seeing that play out right now on these college campuses when it comes to the Jews. Imagine what those college campuses are going to look like in a few more years when you've got the whole black versus white thing going down.
Well, hopefully that won't come to existence. But I'll say this, you know, as far as the oppressed and the oppressors, those are the people on the left, politically speaking. And the oppressed, those are the victims of the lies they've been told since they were small children. So if you want to talk about being oppressed, if you grew up in a public school believing the crap that's being taught today, you are most certainly one of the oppressed. You have been held back by being misled, and that's a huge disservice to the kids, their parents, and just the future of our country in general.
Yeah, you're not getting a complaint out of me on that one, Chuck. I think you're spot on accurate. And that is an interesting thought, that the kids are being confused. They really don't know if they're boys or girls anymore. They don't know what their pronouns are, and maybe they're trying to put a square circle into a round hole. I don't know. I mean, could be. But anyway, Chuck, appreciate that call. Hey, folks, we've got to scoot out. Coming up, J.D. Vance has some things to say about Ukraine and the persecution of Christians. That's going to be a fascinating story. Stick around. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. So I've been dipping into the Supreme Court coverage, and I'm feeling pretty good about this for President Trump, and we're going to keep you updated on the developments there. But if I'm a betting man, I think that the conservative justices will all stand together on this one. By the way, just moments ago, a New York City union worker told a Newsmax reporter. The reporter asked, "What is your message to Joe Biden?" And the New York City union worker said, "Blank you." Very well said. Meanwhile, in Atlanta at Emory University, Georgia police officers reportedly firing rubber bullets into the crowd. This is happening at one of those junior varsity Hamas campgrounds there at Emory. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend. She is the host of the Monica Crowley podcast. Monica Crowley. Hey, Monica, how's it going today?
Hey, Todd, I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me back.
No shortage of things to talk about today. I'm curious about the situation. This is unfolding in Atlanta, but we've seen these protests all over the country. I think it's interesting in the southern states, they're taking care of business and they're not letting the kids, you know, behave like animals. Certainly not the case here at Columbia.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to preface this by saying that I am a graduate of Columbia University. I actually hold 3 degrees from that university. And when I was there, it was a relatively quiet period of time. But Columbia University has long been a hotbed of this kind of rabid left-wing activism, going back to the Vietnam War, where when the anti-war protesters took over the president's office. At the time, and staged a long-standing sit-in, which then set the pace for other universities around the country. And the same exact thing is going on here. You know, Columbia seems to be ground zero, but now these protests are spreading. They're metastasizing around the country. As you point out, in the South, like in Texas, they're not countenancing this at all. Florida, I'm sitting in Florida right now, it's the same kind of deal where the governors have come forward and said, And many university presidents, too, down here have said, look, we have a certain set of guidelines at this university for expressions of free speech, for protest. That's all protected by the First Amendment. But if you begin to obstruct certain university aspects of the functioning of the university or the city or the state, we will bring the police in. And they also have guidelines dictating time, place, and manner for these kinds of protests. And if they're the students, the protesters are in violation of that, they could face expulsion or arrest by the police. So the southern states are not fooling around with this, but the more liberal states, the blue states and cities, they're giving free rein to these kind of protesters that are creating absolute chaos and mayhem, which is, of course, the point.
Yeah, and again, I want to read, this was what Governor Abbott said out of Texas yesterday. He said, arrests are being made right now, will continue until the crowd disperses. These protesters belong in jail. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, period. And Monica, it's amazing to me because there are some on the conservative side, a lot of these conservative pundits, who are suggesting that Greg Abbott is going too far here and that he should allow these children to be anti-Semitic. But it seems to me if you're actually calling for the death of Jews in America, that should not be tolerated in my book.
Well, if you were inciting violence, that's a whole other category, right? So I agree with those who argue for free speech protections, right? You can be a free speech absolutist and say, look, the First Amendment guarantees you the right to be a jerk, to be a bigot, to be an anti-Semite. It gives you that right. Now, polite society, private businesses, public businesses, they have the right not to hire you or to give you a platform for those views, but you do have a right to be an idiot or a bigot or a jerk. Now, when it crosses over into inciting violence, the fire in a crowded theater standard, well, then, yeah, there are some restrictions on speech and what you can say and do. But remember, universities are their own little worlds. They're their own, their little microcosms, and they have their own set of standards as well. So like I pointed out, most universities, like, for example, the president of Princeton University, again, an Ivy League, largely very left-wing institution, that president today came out enforcing their time, place, and manner standards for protests. And they were saying, if you come out and violate those standards with your protest, then we have the right under these university guidelines and rules to remove you from the premises, and you could face disciplinary action or expulsion from the university. So I think that is actually the proper way to handle all of this. But understand, you know, all of these protests, Todd, are about something much bigger. And I've been making this point on my podcast now for quite a while, and frankly, to anybody who will listen. Whether it was the anti-Vietnam War protests in the 60s and early 70s, whether it was Antifa and Black Lives Matter 4 years ago burning down the country, or whether it's now these terrorist sympathizers in the streets, what everybody needs to understand is that it's all the same revolution. Communists, Marxists, and others who seek to uproot this country and destroy her use a top line issue. So George Floyd or, President Trump is a fascist, or the Vietnam War, or Hamas versus Israel. They take a top line superficial issue, or they make one up, and then they send their shock troops into the streets with these kinds of protests. And the objective is to destabilize American society. That is the point. That's why you're seeing so many of these kids, including at the Ivy League, where they're supposed to be the smartest kids in the country, when they are asked, what are you protesting? Most of them have no idea. Most of them will tell the person interviewing them, I don't know why I'm out here, or something vague about the Middle East. They have no idea because they are useful idiots that are sort of teed up and then sent into the streets to do the Marxist and the globalist dirty work, which is to destabilize the United States, to collapse us from within. That's what all this is about.
Yeah, Monica Crowley on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, and I share that concern with you. This is part of a much broader issue to destabilize the country. I was talking to Congressman Brian Babin from Texas yesterday on our Newsmax TV show, and he shares that concern as well, that these are basically sleeper cells that could very well be activated to cause actual violence out there across the country. Monica, do you have that concern that we could be dealing with something much more severe down the road?
Yes, of course. And, you know, you pair the internal enemies that have long been here with the wide open border and all of the new enemies that have entered the country over the last 3 years. And you have a very toxic, dangerous mix of people who have no connection to this country, no connection to the Constitution, no connection to our culture or to the American people, who actively want to see harm brought to the United States. And so when you pair that element with the fact that our own government is dangerously weaponized against the rest of us, you have a toxic mix here. And that is why you can see the train coming a mile away. Todd, right? Like you yeah. know that there are going to be acts of terrorism in this country relatively soon. You know, Biden only has X number of months left before the election and hopefully X number of months left before he's gone. And so our enemies know that they have a very short window of opportunity to act here and advance their own interests, and they are going to take it.
Monica, I'm curious, what do you have coming up on the podcast this week?
Oh, well, thank you for asking, Todd. Yes, you know, a couple of days ago on my podcast, I had the former British Prime Minister, Liz Truss, who joined me. She was targeted and removed by the international financial deep state when she became Prime Minister of the UK and only lasted in that job 50 or 55 days. She has quite the story to tell. And everybody should hear it because the deep state is globalist. We have our deep state here, but they are working hand in glove with the globalist deep state. And she has a frontline view to what happened to her. That was a very important conversation. I encourage everybody to take a listen. And then today I speak with Mike Davis of the Article 3 Project about the latest on the Stalinist show trials that President Trump is being subjected to, as well as the Supreme Court, a session today on presidential immunity. And I have, Todd, today I have done one of my most epic rants ever on the state of the country, not to be missed today's show. So please, I encourage everybody, check out the Monica Crowley podcast, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, Monica, we're going to have to leave it there, but great stuff. And folks, be sure to check out Monica's podcast. And we have a link to it as well on our live show blog. Follow Monica on X at Monica Crowley. Monica, always appreciate you. Take care now.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Todd. Thanks.
All right. Again, our telephone number here, folks, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, have you downloaded the Newsmax Plus app? You got to do it. Newsmax Plus is now the fastest growing streaming service in America. It's also how you can watch the Todd Stern Show every night, 5 o'clock Eastern. You're also going to get the main Newsmax channel as well. You're going to get great shows from Greg Kelly, Rob Schmidt, and Eric Bolling, and some great analysis from folks like Dick Morris and Mike Huckabee. President Trump says Newsmax Plus is terrific. We, by the way, cover all the big Trump rallies live. We never censor the president. So you can start a free trial today. That's right, folks, free. All you have to do is go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register. We'll be right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Want to play some audio from a mom. She's a military veteran. She has several children. And she posted this item on Rumble. And she raises a very interesting question. Let's play that, Dylan.
In light of recent events, I would like to share some thoughts with you. If you would have told me that New York City would be overrun by terrorists from my own country who align themselves with Middle Eastern terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda just 19 years after the most frightening moment in modern American history, 9/11/2001, I wouldn't have believed you. See, I was very naive about my government, and I definitely know better now. Now, I was a freshman in high school in East Orange, New Jersey, and I remember feeling terrified as I watched the most iconic buildings in New York City struck by airplanes as I looked at the TV screen playing in my class. I was worried about my family who lived and worked in Manhattan, not knowing if they were okay. I wondered if more attacks would occur around the country. And I feared for everyone. All classes were stationary and it was so quiet you could hear every TV in every classroom down the hall. And that soon faded away with the noise of chaos and wrestling and emotion. I remember feeling so much anxiety when my classmates were being called down to the office to be dismissed because their parents or family members were coming to get them. And I thought, honestly, that the world was ending, or at least mine was. And for so many, it did that day. Fast forward to April 22nd, 2024. Terrorists are shouting, "Death to America," where 2,977 Americans were murdered. And they are also chanting, "Death to Jews." And they want them exterminated, literally the tenet of Hamas, on the night of a Jewish holiday called Passover. If you don't know what that story is, I implore you to look it up. And all of this is occurring as our government, who sent us to war for 19 years, allows our border to remain wide open and gives our money away to defend other countries' borders from being invaded, while ours is crumbling under the weight of chaos, death by a thousand cuts. Who benefits from this conflict? What do you think there is to gain from all of this? You know, I find myself feeling those same feelings as I realized about 4 years ago. America is in need of some help, and we're all we have, as we all sit back and watch our country burn from our phones. Now, some of us are fighting as best as we can to keep this nation from falling, and others are just simply going about their lives. There are no reinforcements. It's just us. Is America worth saving? Is liberty? I hope so. For my children, I know so. Do you?
So this is the question of really the generation. This is the question that we all have to answer for ourselves. This is why I wrote Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? This is why I raised the question in the book. I do believe America can be saved, but the question for the American people is, do you want to save this country? And so many people are now just wandering around, and they've got their heads in the cell phones. They're not engaging the culture, and they're literally, I'll give you an example. There was a, just yesterday in San Jose, the mayor, who's a far lefty, he was doing an interview, and in the middle of the interview, some random psycho attacks the mayor's security guard. Not a single person bothered to step in to help the security guard. The poor security guard is literally, I mean, the fight went on for like 3 or 4 minutes, and nobody went over to help the poor security guard. People were filming it. They were watching it, but nobody was actually intervening. And we see this all the time, right? Where somebody will do something and somebody's in danger, and instead of going and helping the person or going and intervening and interceding on somebody's behalf, what are the American people doing? Well, we're taking out our cell phones and we're filming it. At what point, ladies and gentlemen, do we decide as a nation, you know what? America is worth saving. At what point do we all get up at, you know, out of our stupor and say, yeah, we've got a country to save here? Because there really are more of us than there are of them. The problem is them, they are out there and they are active politically and they're not afraid. And they know by and large that we, the people, are just going to be meek and mild, and we're just going to stay inside our homes, and we're going to do as we're told. Well, those days are over, ladies and gentlemen. They have to be over. And I hope you take some time to read Twilight's Last Gleaming. There's a reason why the national anthem starts with a question and not a declaration. Because every generation here in this country, we got to fight for freedom. And if we don't, the slide into tyranny is very quick and fast. It will happen quickly. Anyway, I got to run here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Looks like Looks like the Hamas wannabes have now stormed the Fashion Institute of Technology, and that's over near 24th Street there in the Fashion District. And we'll keep you updated there. I mean, this is insanity. Emory University, they're saying that that the students tried to do something there. Florida State University, you know what they just did? They turned on the sprinkler system. So they're not letting the kids anywhere. This is brilliant. So good for you, Governor Ron DeSantis. So, all right, keeping things real down in the Sunshine State. So yesterday, I was pretty fired up over the protests that were happening in real time. Congressman Brian Babin from Texas was a guest on the TV show, and I wanted to play some of yesterday's conversation. And now the president at Columbia University is telling the students, you know what? We're going to sit down and we're going to negotiate with you. And we're going to give you 48 hours, but we're going to start the negotiations. What the hell is she trying to negotiate here, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, these students are literally calling for the death of Jews, right? They're marching around, death to America, death to the Jews. They want to slaughter everybody. So exactly how do you negotiate that? How do you compromise on, we want to kill all the Jews? How do you do that? Look, you cannot negotiate with terrorists. And the people who run Columbia and all these other universities should have figured that out by now. It's absolutely unacceptable, and it's appalling. And my hat is off to the good people down at UT Austin for knowing how to deal with terrorism. You don't negotiate with them. Now, this was a big topic on my radio show today, and we've had several callers who had a pretty brilliant idea. They said what needs to happen is you need to arrest all of the students, and then you need to put them on the no-fly list, and you need to put them on the terrorist watch list. I think this is a brilliant idea. Oh, by the way, you're going to love this one, folks. You're not going to believe this, but the leftists over at Columbia, you know what they did to keep all the outsiders from getting onto the campus? You know what they did? They built a wall. A wall around the campus, a plywood wall. Isn't it interesting that now all of a sudden the leftists are in favor of building border walls? I'm telling you, folks, you can't make this stuff up. Now, just a few moments ago, House Speaker Mike Johnson showed up at Columbia University, held a press conference, and here's a montage of some of the news nuggets and the highlights of that speech.
Fiscal responsibility. Free market.
Building right behind us. Columbia University once awarded Winston Churchill an honorary degree, and it was Churchill who said, "It is manifestly right that Jews should have a national home where they may be reunited." We believe in that principle. And today I'm here to proclaim to all those who gnash their teeth and demand to wipe the state of Israel off the map and attack our innocent Jewish students this simple truth. Neither Israel nor these Jewish students on this campus will ever stand alone. Today, Hamas issued an endorsement statement of the protesters on this campus. They called them the future leaders of America. It is detestable. All of this has to be said because the cherished traditions of this university are being overtaken right now by radical and extreme ideologies. They place a target on the backs of Jewish students in the United States and here on this campus. A growing number of students have chanted in support of terrorists. They have chased down Jewish students. They have mocked them and reviled them. They have shouted racial epithets. They have screamed at those who bear the Star of David. Enjoy your free speech. Oh, for crying out loud. So look, I don't understand this. First of all, Speaker Johnson needs to have his butt down on our border, our southern border, explaining to the Border Patrol agents why he didn't authorize a single penny of funding for these guys. But look, I get it. I give the guy credit. He at least showed up there outside Columbia University. But really, that's it. Enjoy your free speech. How about a little bit of righteous indignation, sir? They're calling for the slaughter of Jews in America. Come on, Mr. Speaker, find a backbone, find a little bit of righteous indignation. But this, again, is the guy who actually apologized to Joe Biden. You know why he apologized to the president of the United States? Because he rolled his eyes when Biden was cutting the Republicans a new one during the State of the Union address. A couple of months later, they got together. And honest to goodness, folks, according to the reporting from Real Clear Politics,
Speaker Johnson apologized to the President of the United States for rolling his eyes. Time to man up, Mr. Speaker. Time to man up. We're playing real games here, sir. Unbelievable. In the meantime, I will say this. The Speaker did get around to calling for the resignation of the President of Columbia University. Let's watch that bit of video.
We just can't allow this kind of hatred and anti-Semitism to flourish on our campuses, and it must be stopped in its tracks. Those who are perpetrating this violence should be arrested. And I'm here today joining my colleagues and calling on President Shafiq to resign if she cannot immediately bring order to this chaos.
All right, there you have it, folks. It is chaos. It's absolute chaos. And now you understand why every Jewish student needs to be out of there. You got to get your kids out. Moms, dads, you got a Jewish son or daughter over at Columbia, go and get them and bring them home. It's not safe for them there. And as a matter of fact, my call is for all the good Christian people in New York City, if there are a handful, get out there and you stand alongside your Jewish countrymen, because they need our help right now. And let me explain this to you, folks. After they finish with the Jews, they're coming after the Christians. And all you LGBT folks out there, you better pay attention. I know you're marching with them and you're flying your little flags and all of that kind of stuff. But let me explain something to you. When they get finished with the Jews and the Christians, they're coming after you. And all you have to do is take a long, hard look at how they treat the LGBT people over in some of those Middle Eastern countries. They're coming after all of us, folks. We've got to stand together here. By the way, before we go to our next guest, I want to bring in some audio from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just a few moments ago. Here's how bad it is, folks. It's so bad here that you've got the Prime Minister of Israel releasing a video message condemning the anti-Semitism here in America. Let's watch.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s.
And he's absolutely right. And it's happening here in America. Unbelievable. Well, I want to bring in our next guest. He is from the great state of Texas, Congressman Brian Babin. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Great to be with you, Todd.
And Congressman, I apologize. I'm just a little fired up and enraged over what's happening in our great nation right now. And I must say my hat is off to the good law enforcement officers there in Austin, because they certainly went in there and they took care of business.
Well, that's my alma mater, as a matter of fact, Todd. And although it's become very left-wing in Austin, especially UT in Austin, I'm very proud of the fact that they were able to shut this down. Because as you just showed us up in Columbia, where the speaker was, there has to be consequences. We cannot allow lawlessness to take hold of our college campuses. And that's what's been happening all over the country, especially in blue jurisdictions where the Democrats hold sway and in colleges and universities. It is inexcusable that the Speaker of the House, that people cannot come and speak publicly without being hooted down and those kinds of riots, not riots, you know, not yet, but in these types of demonstrations and protests. I'm a supporter of Mike Johnson. I did not vote for Ukraine aid. I voted for Israel aid. But I'll tell you, the man is trying to do the best he possibly can. He's got a very, very, very difficult job. I will say that. But standing up to these people, and if that's what has to happen, the consequences have to be such that they don't want a repeat. If they this is what they make a police officers for, arrest them if they get unruly. This is why they make water cannons. This is why we have to being able to quell these crowds that are beating up folks, that are taking over campuses, that are assaulting Jewish Americans. And as you said very, very accurately, They're coming for the Christians next. They're coming for the LGBT. Don't think for a second that you're going to escape these radicals, because that's what they are. And sadly, our refugee programs, which are actually run by the UN, and our open, wide open border has created this monster and allowed these people to come in who have zero basis and knowledge and experience in our own culture, our constitution, our faith. This is what's happening to America right now, and it is super, super dangerous, Todd.
And Congress, no, you're right about that. And I've had about three dozen of your colleagues on my national radio show. They tell me every single time it's not a matter of if, but when. And Congressman, I don't see protest. I see the sleeper cells that are positioned at every major university across that nation. That's what I see right before my eyes. What about you?
I see the exact same thing. You can check on my social media, my statements, releases that we've had. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we're going to be hit again. We've already got a crime wave. Criminals are coming in by the millions. Terrorists are coming. We know that there's hundreds of terrorists on the watch list that have come across. How many have we not caught? And quite frankly, the border has just been neglected. We've incentivized people to come in from all over the world. The carefulness that we always had our immigration system run by, it was supposed to be an immigration system that it benefits Americans. No, we are endangering Americans. We are destroying our country because of this whole thing. And I'll tell you the whole thing about this, Todd. Leadership is everything. Absolutely. And we have no leadership. We have a sheep who is in the White House today, and we need a lion. Alexander the Great says, I don't fear an army of lions led by a sheep. I fear an army of sheep led by a lion. And our lion is being caged up in New York City. They will not allow President Trump to get out and campaign. They've got him bottled and caged up. And America is desperately crying out for strong leadership on all fronts. We don't have it. We're going to be hit again. I warn people over and over again, not a matter of if, but when. We have been thrown to the wolves by this administration. That's what's happened.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. And we appreciate you saying what needs to be said. This is no time for any of us to stay silent. We've got to roar like those lions. So thank you very much, Congressman Babin. Well, last year, we were trying to do something nice. I live in a lovely community right outside of Memphis, right outside of the war zone. And they have a lot of different shops. And, you know, it's hard, right? You're trying to start a business, trying to launch a business, and you may not have a lot of money for advertising. And so anyway, there was this one shop, and it was rather intriguing. And I'm not going to give the name of the shop. I feel like that's just that would not be cool. But anyway, I reached out and said, hey, look, you know, congratulations. This is great. We would love to invite you on to our local radio station, KWAM, and we would love for you to come on and you can talk about your business. And so we do that. We try to be very helpful to our local businesses, and especially small businesses. I really have a passion and a heart for small business owners. And so anyway, it was a cookie shop. That's all I will say. That's as far as I'll go. So the owner of the company responded with one of the most vicious attacks and responses I have ever seen. It was ugly. And the long story short, she is a raging leftist, and she hates me. She hates what we do. She hates conservatives. I mean, it was horrible. So at the time, I felt like it was important to let people know, hey, look, you know, we reached out to these folks, and they were, like, attacking us. So anyway, and that was that. That was that. Just got word that the
the business is going out of business. They're shutting down their retail store. I think they're just doing online now. But they're shutting down their retail operation. And I'm sure the cookies were very tasty. I have no doubt that they certainly looked very tasty. But I will say this. Once you go woke, you go broke. I mean, it really is that simple. And, you know, we here on, you know, this program, we believe in being fair and balanced. And at the same time, if that's your business, if that's your business model, that you don't want conservatives to go and eat your cookies or eat your cakes, you know what? That's your business model. It's a pretty lousy business model, but whatever. But then you turn around and you're going to attack, you know, the radio station because we lean conservative. Okay, we really lean conservative, but we're fair. We have a lot of Democrats that come on this radio station. They do. And the reason why is because I always believe the conservative side will always rise to the top. It is the cream of the crop. So anyway, my condolences. The good news is, folks, you can still go down to Kroger and get Oreos and even Nutter Butters. So if you get a hankering for a sweet tooth, but so be it. Actually, there is a great, if I could just share this before we have to run to break here, there is a great candy shop in Memphis called Dinstall's Fine Candies. Their website is dinstalls.com. That's D-I-N-S-T-U-H-L-S. They've been in business since 1902, and they hand make all of their chocolates. I'm telling you, folks, right now, hear me on this. It's the best freaking chocolate you're ever going to have. And I would. And by the way, you got it. You can go get the cashew crunch. Just get some chocolate and then get some cashew crunch on the side. You will be thanking me. You're also going to be taking some Calitrin after all of that. I'm telling you. But it's great candy, great family. And again, Dinstall's, D-I-N-S-T-U-H-L-S, Dinstall's.com. And you're going to love it. They are not a sponsor of this program. I'm just telling you, they got great, great sweets if that's what you like to do. All right, we got to take a quick break here. Congressman Pat Fallon is going to drop by. Also, we're going to be talking to Congressman Doug LaMalfa out of California. He's going to be here to weigh in on Gavin Newsom and also the big problems with illegal immigration in California. We're going to be taking your calls as well. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And in the meantime, we have a lot of new listeners. Head over to our website, download our podcast and our newsletter. It is absolutely free of charge at toddstearns.com. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Pat Fallon joins us from District 4 in Texas. Congressman, I hope you're doing well today.
How are you doing?
All right. You know what? Let's put the congressman on hold, and we're going to get all of that sorted out there with the phone connection, and we'll try to get that sorted out here momentarily. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to draw your attention to some information that Senator J.D. Vance shared regarding what's happening in Ukraine. Now, we've got a lot of, as a matter of fact, I think I want to go ahead and play this audio. This is J.D. Vance, cut number 9, please.
Cut number nine.
Here's another thing that we should learn from the Iraq War, something that I, as a Christian, care a lot about, and I think that even many of my colleagues who are not Christians, many of my fellow Americans who are not Christians, should care about. The United States remains to this day the world's largest majority Christian nation. We are the largest Christian nation by population in the entire world. And yet, what are the fruits? By your fruits ye shall know them, the Bible tells us. What are the fruits of American foreign policy when it comes to Christian populations all over the world over the last few decades? Well, in Iraq, before we invaded, there were 1.5 million Christians in Iraq, many of them ancient communities, Chaldeans, people who trace their lineage and their ancestors to people who knew the literal apostles of Jesus Christ. Now, nearly every single one of those historical Christian communities is gone. That is the fruits of American labor in Iraq, a regional ally of Iran, and the eradication and decimation of one of the oldest Christian communities in the world. Is that what we were told was going to happen? Did the American people, the world's largest majority Christian nation in the world, did they think that's what they were getting themselves into? I certainly didn't, and I'm ashamed that I didn't, but we did. We did all of those things because we weren't thinking about how war and conflict lead to unexpected places.
So it's an interesting point that the senator's making. He tied that into what's happening in Ukraine right now, where Zelensky is now going after Orthodox Christians. And many of these churches are being shut down. And a lot of people in this country are wondering, okay, why is it that we are now funding all of this, the literal attacks on Christians in Ukraine? And the argument is coming from people like the Speaker of the House that, well, Putin is going after the Christians in Russia. Well, okay, it's possible that we're dealing with two very bad actors here. I get that. But the question is, why are our tax dollars being used to shut down churches? And in the case of Iraq, we went in there and we made the situation worse for the Christian communities in that country. That's what J.D. Vance is saying, that sometimes our American foreign policy is way off base. All right, I think we've been able to work out the phone situation with Congressman Fallon. And Congressman, I just have to say right out of the gate, thank you to the great state of Texas for how you guys handled the protest there at UT Austin.
Well, Todd, can you hear me now?
Yep, coming in loud and clear.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, listen, you have a right in this country to legally protest. You do not have a right to illegally protest, and that's what these folks don't understand. Furthermore, these protests for the really it's a pro-Hamas protest, are really mass organized hate crimes against Jewish Americans. And it's time for leaders in the blue states to step up and call a spade a spade and call them out and get some law and order in place.
So we're now seeing these protests popping up at other places. I think George Washington University, the Fashion Institute, Emory University. It certainly looks as if this is all coordinated. Are you guys getting any intelligence, any information on who's behind this?
We're looking into it because there's definitely coordination. There's no doubt about that. And you know how to handle protests like this on a college campus and when they're illegal? You go, you have the president say, all right, if you're here at 5 o'clock, anybody here is expelled. Done. Again, you cannot let the inmates run the asylum. And furthermore, the president of Columbia, Todd, who cannot even condemn the chant and the slogan "from the river to the sea," which calls for the genocide of Jewish Israelis, that's very telling. It's also disgusting, but it's very telling.
So I just want to make sure I understand this, because we were talking to some lawmakers a few days ago, and they said that you in the House do have the ability to stop federal funding to some of these universities. Is that accurate?
We should definitely do that. I fully support it. In fact, ironically, our office was working on legislation to defund any university that wouldn't allow ROTC, the Reserve Officer Training Corps, to locate on campus. Like, for instance, Harvard doesn't allow that. Harvard students have to go to MIT if they're in ROTC. That is blatantly un-American, and it's, I think, anti-American, and they don't deserve federal funding if they're going to treat our military like that, and particularly in the midst of a recruiting crisis. So we should, any of these folks that don't want to get their house in order and want to really foster and facilitate these kinds of illegal hate-filled protests, I don't think they deserve federal money, and I would fully support defunding them.
All right, so let's talk about that. How does that work? Does someone just introduce a bill, a piece of legislation? How does that work?
Well, we can do it that way. You can do it through the appropriations process as well. We can simply say that list out the criteria, and if you, like a Columbia University, for instance, if they're not fulfilling the criteria, then you get defunded, period. We could pass that into federal law. We can also do it through appropriations as well.
Do you anticipate that happening, or is that just talk from, you know, the Speaker of the House and others?
No, I think that the Republican House will do it. I don't think Chuck Schumer is going to lift a finger. But here's the good news. Chuck Schumer is not going to be majority leader for much longer. We're going to take the Senate back. And I think President Trump will win the White House as well. We just have to hold the House, and then we can actually see. And we don't need Paul Ryan 2.0 or John Boehner 3.0. We need to act like conservatives. I want a conservative majority, not a Republican majority. And we need to paint with bold colors. And as President Reagan said, not soft pastels.
Do you think we're going to need a new House Speaker as well? Let's just say Republicans hold the line here.
Sure. I think that Mike Johnson is the right man for the job, Todd. I really do. And he hasn't been given enough runway. And he's been thrust into, a difficult box. I haven't always voted with him, of course. I voted against the Ukraine funding because I thought we should have separated out the money that was going to go to replace our stock, then the money that would be going to Ukraine, and then the loan. And then we could have three separate votes on really three separate issues. And when you rope it all together as one, then I'm going to vote no on the whole thing. And I think we also should have compelled the Senate to take a vote on H.R. 2, the omnibus border security bill. Up or down, whether it passes or not, up or down, because that's what they kept saying to us about Ukraine. So we had our up or down vote there. You have your up or down vote on border security. That was a very good idea that should have been adopted, and it wasn't.
Why didn't he include any sort of assistance for securing our southern border? Did he give you any explanation why?
Oh yeah, no, he told the conference as well. It was dead on arrival in the Senate is what he was being told by Schumer. And we did need to do something for Israel. I fully supported that. I do think we need to do something in the Pacific region as well. And I will say this, Mike was privy to a lot of intelligence and security briefings that I have not received. I've received a lot of them on Ukraine, but not at the level that he did. And he did feel that it was a dire situation. And I don't want Ukraine to be gobbled up by Russia, okay? I don't want Putin to take a nation state that has the fourth most natural resources in the world. At the same time, we cannot give any nation a blank check, particularly, as you point out, Zelensky. And I did like President Trump's idea of if you're going to give them assistance, it's got to be in a loan. But also, you've got to have an end game in place here. This can't go on in perpetuity either.
No, well, you're right about that, and I know Speaker McConnell, or the Minority Leader McConnell, was saying earlier today, he was asked, well, is the $61 billion, billion with a B, going to be enough? And he said he doesn't know. So that means it's not going to be enough, and they're going to be coming back and asking for even more money, while our border, I'm really frustrated, yeah. Congressman, that you guys are protecting Ukraine's border while our border is going unprotected.
You couldn't be more right. I hear that all the time. I mean, particularly being in Texas. Now, we're a border state, but Joe Biden's made every state a border state. And we can do both. It's just clear that Joe Biden's not going to lift a finger. What he's going to do, because he's already showed his hand, Todd, is he's going to say, we had this bipartisan bill in the Senate and those darn Republicans killed it. It's their fault. The border is as wide open as it is. I can prove that false in a sentence. And that is reinstitute wait in Mexico, Joe Biden. You can do it right now. You don't need congressional approval at all. You can just do it unilaterally. He refuses to do so. He won't do it. And he's just playing this game. Can you imagine if he got reelected how bad the border will be in a 4 years of lame duck Joe Biden? The only chance we have to secure that border moving forward at this juncture is President Trump winning in November. Again, had I been Speaker, I would have tied border security to any Ukraine funding, because that's called compromise and divided government. They get something they want, we get something we want. And we didn't get that. So I don't think it was a big win for us, and that's why I voted no on Ukraine funding.
No, it was a loss. I think the spending bill was a big loss. I never thought that Mike Johnson, and a fellow Southern Baptist, would actually endorse the idea of funding late-term abortion facilities or transgender programs. I never imagined I would see that day.
Yeah, it's again, I'm
well, let me ask you this, Congressman. No, I understand. Let me ask you this. What are the Mike Johnson wins?
TikTok was one. I thought that I really do think that the Chinese Communist Party is infiltrating, and that's one of the tools they were using. So passing the TikTok ban, that was something that was good. We did, we had HR2, but that was earlier before he became speaker. And, you know, he hasn't been around all that long. And to be fair, when you're thrust into a situation where you're the Speaker of the House with an incredibly narrow majority, the Senate is controlled by Democrats, so is the White House, it's hard to keep us in the 220 of us or so singing on the same sheet of music. It's very difficult because on one hand, you've got the conservatives like myself and many others that are in, you know, strong Republican districts, and you don't want to pass conservative bills. At the same time, you've got some New York Republicans and others that are in very dicey, sometimes, you know, seats that Biden won by 10, 15 points. That vote with us most of the time, not on everything, but most of the time. And I'd rather be, you know, as Reagan said, I'd rather have them voting with us 80% of the time than a Democrat that votes with us 0% of the time. So it's a very precarious situation.
I hear you. Congressman, we got to leave it there. I am super late for a break, but I appreciate you giving us an update there. And again, we certainly appreciate what the law enforcement is doing down there at UT Austin. Thank you again for coming back on the show.
Amen. Anytime, Todd. Thanks.
All right.
Take care. God bless.
Congressman Pat Fallon, everybody. Wow. Okay. So there you go. The win, I think, is the TikTok vote. I think that's the big win that Mike Johnson is going to be clinging to. So there you go. It's a difficult thing, ladies and gentlemen. And so now it's not a matter of having the majority. Now you have to have a super majority. And I guess that's the only way you're going to be able to get things done. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Wow, what a day. It looked, the good news here, I was dipping in and out of the Supreme Court coverage, and it looks as though the conservatives on the court are going to be siding with President Trump here. But again, we won't know, and maybe until June it could be earlier, but we'll keep you updated on any of those developments. We do have some back and forth here. This is Justice Sotomayor, cut number 19.
Malum in se is a concept long viewed as appropriate in law, that there's some things that are so fundamentally evil that they have to be protected against. Now, I think, answer below, I'm going to give you a chance to say if you stay by it. If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could, and why? Because he's doing it for personal reasons. He's not doing it like President Obama is alleged to have done it, to protect the country from a terrorist. He's doing it for personal gain. And isn't that the nature of the allegations here, that he's not doing these acts in furtherance of an official responsibility. He's doing it for personal gain.
I agree with that characterization of the indictment, and that confirms immunity, because the characterization is that there's a series of official acts that were done for an unlawful purpose.
No, because immunity says even if you did it for personal gain, we won't hold you responsible. How could that be?
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. So, a little bit of the arguments that they heard earlier today at the Supreme Court. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Congressman Doug LaMalfa over in California. He's got some things to say about Gavin Newsom. And, man, it's like he's fallen off the planet, right? You don't hear anything about Newsom anymore. And the reason why is because this guy's state is falling apart right now. More people moving out of California than any other state in the union. So I have a question as we get ready to go to break here. In Tennessee, there is a big debate on giving child rapists the death penalty in the state. So if you go out there and you harm a child, you get the death penalty. Do you think that's a good idea? Also, there is legislation that I believe is now going to the governor's desk that would hold parents accountable. So if your child goes out there and commits a crime, then you, mom and dad, would also be held accountable. Do you think that's a good idea? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's get right to the phone lines. Janie in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our great station there. Hi, Janie. So what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I was calling about the death sentence.
Yes.
For child predators.
That's right. In Tennessee, that's going to be a big deal. So they're debating this. What do you think?
I think it should be 100% death.
Janie, what do you think about the idea that we need to start punishing parents when their kids are out there committing these violent crimes?
I agree with that as well. Todd, when I grew up, if I got in trouble, the first person I called was my parents and told them to get me in line or they'd be in trouble. When I didn't go to school, the first person they came to was my parents. And if we want to say that you can't do anything without our permission until our child's 18, then they're in control, correct? We as parents are in control, correct?
That is correct. That is true.
So why are they not responsible if the child does something bad?
Yeah, well, that is a fair question, Janie. And you see what's happening in your city, where by and large the people committing these violent crimes are in fact kids.
Correct. And I'm not saying anything that anybody else has not said, but until there's consequences, nothing's going to change.
Mm. All right, Janie, I appreciate your call. And again, the governor is deciding whether or not to sign this legislation. But it would, if you get convicted of raping a child, you're going to the lake of fire. Let's go to North Carolina. Arnie is on the line. Hi, Arnie. So what's your take here? You think this is a good idea?
Well, as long as there's DNA proof, we've got too many accusations where people try to gain position in a divorce by accusing sex abuse. And there's no proof of it other than the mom
and they emotionally beat up the kid to get that kid to say that. And they don't know, the kid doesn't know the ramifications of what they're saying. So there should be DNA if you're going to put the needle into somebody.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty reasonable thing. And so DNA evidence, that would be the deciding factor for you.
Yes, it would.
All right, good stuff. All right, Arnie, appreciate that call. The Democrats in Tennessee say, yeah, this is a big problem. They say that they would rather the child rapist serve 100% of their sentences. And they say that the death penalty was not the best way for the state to enforce crimes. Well, the one thing about the death penalty, and I'll just throw this out there, is that it is final. So if, you know, you're convicted of raping a child and you get the death penalty, guess what? You're not going to be raping any more children. Just something to think about. All right, let's go to Tom in Georgia, wants to weigh in on the deep state. Hi, Tom, what you got for us?
Good afternoon, Todd. Multiple caller and regular listener. I had to get your new phone number because my old one didn't work. So I got back from running errands. So glad to be able to call in today.
Well, glad you did, Tom.
I had the pleasure a couple of weeks ago to General Flynn's premiere in Savannah on his movie. You advertised it earlier in the show. And let me tell you and your audience, it's a must-see. It connected, and I'm very politically active, spent a lot of time doing a lot of research. It connected so many dots for me that I've been wondering about for years. And the takeaway is General Flynn basically had more problem with the Republicans trying to take him out than the Democrats. That's hard to imagine, but I believe it to my heart.
Well, no, I would 1,000% believe that Tom, and the reason why is that the Republicans are getting rich the same way the Democrats are, and it's all about lobbying. It's all about the money under the table. There are so many people coming out of Congress as millionaires when they went in and they could barely pay their mortgage. So there's a lot going on there, and my concern is that, you know, these people are working behind the scenes to try and stop Donald Trump.
Can I pivot to another subject real quick?
Real quick, yeah.
McCarthy is on a revenge tour raising money to put in races, primary races, to challenge Freedom Caucus candidates. So across your listening audience, if you can support Freedom Caucus candidates, please do, because your money will be well spent.
Well, that's good advice, and it's important for people to do their homework too, Tom, and to make sure that they're casting their votes for true conservatives. And that's, you know, if you've got a primary battle in a Republican district, make sure you're doing your homework and you're supporting and you're backing the right person. And Tom, one other thing here, and by the way, thank you for that call, Tom. One other thing here, folks, if you are in an area and your Republican Party is to the left, you just might want to consider giving your money directly to the candidate instead of sending that money to your local party. Just throwing that out there. I'm not saying that every Republican organization is to the left, but there are some out there, and you ought to be aware of that. Again, 901-260-5926. Tom is right. Our number has changed. It's 901-260-5926. I don't know about you, but Americans have just about had it with all of these companies out there that are fighting against our values. And that's one of the reasons many people are switching to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They actually put their money where their mouth is, and they actually support organizations that are fighting for the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and sanctity of life. And get this, their customer service team is based right here in the good old USA. You get to keep your number, and a lot of people say, Todd, can I keep my number? Yes, you can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Really, whatever you want to do. And they have a plan to fit any budget. So go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or call 972-PATRIOT. Now, they're going to give you the first month free of charge, right? But here's what you need to do. You got to use this offer code SPRING24. That's SPRING24, PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. Got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back. Well, Joe Biden, man, this guy, he's a piece of work. This is President Biden talking about the Dobbs decision that saved a lot of babies in this country. Cut number 8.
Trump bragged how proud he was to get rid of Roe v. Wade over. He took credit for it. He said there has to be punishment for women exercising their reproductive freedom. His words, not mine. He described the Dobbs decision as a miracle. Maybe it's coming from that Bible he's trying to sell. Whoa. I almost wanted to buy one just to see what the hell's in it. Folks, it was no miracle. It was a political deal to get rid of Roe v. Wade. A deal. A political deal he made with the evangelical base of the Republican Party to look past his moral, if they look past his moral and character flaws in exchange for his commitment to appoint justice to the Supreme Court, would overturn Roe.
All right. A couple of things here. Joe Biden mocking the Holy Bible. And the Bible he was talking about is the Bible that President Trump promoted back during Easter week when the God Bless the USA Bible, and there was a big hullabaloo over that. And as I said at the time, I believe the hullabaloo was not the fact that there was this God Bless the USA Bible. And it was a gift Bible, right? $60, very, very inexpensive. And it included the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the lyrics to God Bless the USA. And again, it's a gift Bible. So now you have President Biden out there saying
I'm gonna buy a copy of the Bible so I can see what the hell's in it.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what's in it, sir. Hell is in that Bible, and I can tell you this: eternity is going to be a blazing inferno for those people who mock the Bible, mock God's word, and do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Mr. President. Just want to throw that out there. But that's who these – look, you get to see who Joe Biden really is. This guy is a nasty guy. And I know a lot of people say, Todd, no, you know, he's old, and that's the dementia. When you got dementia, you know, you have these angry outbursts. Yeah, that – I think that's who he really is. I think that's the real Joe Biden right there. And I don't think he has a Bible. By the way, did you see that same speech? They were talking about abortion – and abortion rights, and he crosses himself. And a lot of Catholics are upset over that. But I'm telling you, the reason why people are upset with Donald Trump is not that Bible. Donald Trump told the American people that you need to go back to church, you need to read your Bible, and you need to pray. And I'm telling you, that's the reason why people are all upset over this. And I think it's pretty awesome that President Trump, who is not an every Sunday going to church kind of a person, actually understands that if we want to make America great again, we've got to make America pray again. And it's a great point. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. There is this mega church pastor out of North Carolina. His name is Loran Livingston. And this guy, we're going to play this audio tomorrow on the show. This guy is unhinged in the pulpit, and he actually says that Christians have no right to be engaged in politics. He actually said that from the pulpit, and the guy's just unhinged, yelling and carrying on, and really basically saying that Christians are not of this world. We are just visitors here, and our home is in heaven. All right, well, right now it's here in Memphis, Tennessee. And it seems to me, going back to the early days of this country, that our founding fathers, and, you know, let's back up beyond the founding fathers. Let's talk about the pilgrims.
Pilgrim?
The pilgrims came here to escape religious persecution. So the problem in America right now are pastors like this Loran Livingston guy. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. I mean, clearly he's a good preacher, a packed church house. People were applauding and shouting. But the reality is that the country's in the condition it's in because a lot of the churches have just, you know, kind of become, what's the word I'm looking for here, country clubs. So if more pastor, and I don't know, is that like sort of the thing now in church across America, is that more pastors are telling their congregation, hey, you guys don't need to be involved in politics. You just go and vote, but don't bring that politics into the church house. You go and do your thing. We'll do our thing. That is a recipe for disaster in my book. A recipe for disaster. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is from NYU. We played this in the first hour, and I just think this is brilliant because it really does explain a lot of what's happening on these university campuses where the kids are just, Lord love them, they're dumb as rocks. I mean, they really are, and it's sad, but again, this is all intentional. Cut number five.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stop. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Columbia. I was there off at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU needs our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
Well, I mean, at least they want to be educated. I mean, that's a plus, but they're not going to get it there at NYU. And again, the reason why they want our children to be dumb is because dumb people are easier to control. I mean, it really is that simple. And those broads are dumb. Lord love them. All right. By the way, the drag queen, there's a pro-Hamas drag queen that's out there performing in front of children. Cut 16.
Today what we're going to do is we're going to shout, Free Palestine. Can I hear that?
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it, shout,
Free Palestine!
If you're a drag queen and you know it and you really want to show it, you're a drag queen and you know it, shout,
Free Palestine!
Excellent.
All right, Dylan, I want you to do me a favor. Could you just Google drag bars in Tehran or drag bars in Gaza and let me know what you come up with there? don't even bother. There aren't any. You know why? Because they throw drag queens off the top of the buildings. Talking about ignorant. The LGBT crowd that's out there waving, and it's predominantly the transgender flag, that's that pastel-colored flag, they're all out there waving these flags and standing in solidarity with the Muslims, and the Muslims are like, you need to move on. This protest is not for you. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, somebody sent me a note here. The University of Washington or Washington State, they've actually canceled the Gaza protest. They were planning to do the whole, you know, tents. They were going to pitch their tents and they were going to stage this big, huge protest there at the university. And it's been canceled. And the reason why it's been canceled, they're saying there were too many white people in the protest group. And so far too many white people. So they said, all right, we got to do something about this. We've got to get rid of all the white people and then we'll be able to free Palestine. So we'll keep you updated on that. But all you white people, they don't want you protesting Palestine over there in the left coast. All right, folks. Again, ToddStearns.com. That is our landing page. All sorts of great content. We're keeping you updated with all the videos from the protest. I believe just a few moments ago, we posted the video of the Fashion Institute of Technology takeover. Got to head over and see that crazy stuff going down. And, of course, be sure tonight to watch me 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax TV. We've got a big show lined up for you. It's going to be a lot of fun as we break down the big stories of the day. We're also expecting President Trump to come out a little bit later on this evening, and he typically does that after court wraps up. All right, folks, it's been a great day. Tomorrow, Friday, open line Friday, so get your questions ready. Might even try to give away a copy of the book or two, so we'll tell you more about that as well. Be good, America.